Live from the Jukebox Junction Cafe here in Bethel, North Carolina, it's the Brett Chapel Show, along with head coach Brett Chapel. This is Chad Upton Brares coming out of the bye week this week. No game last night, and gave a chance for the team to kind of rest some injuries and those kinds of things and get prepared for the conference, obviously, going into next week against Madison at home. Coach, you guys had a pretty good week this week and able to do some things that you might not normally get to do, I guess.
You know, the big thing for us was really just trying to keep your conditioning up, staying in shape, you know, not falling behind on that deal, but, you know, trying to get some work done at the same time. We took off Monday for Labor Day, let kids have a little bit longer weekend vacation with their families, and then we came back and practiced Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Thought we had a good 3 days of practice. We actually conditioned at the front of practice, and then we conditioned at the end of practice, too, a couple of days. And so it felt like our kids, you know, have kind of bought into what we're trying to do, the process we're trying to get through to get to where we want to go. And, you know, it was a good week of practice. We were able to rest a few injuries. Garrett Jones, one of them with an ankle. Jeff Albritton's ankle as well. So we had two ankles we were dealing with a little bit. And David Mackey. Yeah. I don't know how many people are aware of him. He's unfortunately been in the hospital since Monday. They actually transported him yesterday down to the Shriners Hospital in Greenville, South Carolina. Doing much better, has a bout with pancreatitis, I believe is the correct way to say that, but seems to be on the mend, which is good. Hopefully he'll be out in a couple of days, and we'll get him back with us and see how he feels and go from there.
Why, if you don't mind me, I didn't realize or know that about that. Why was the need to transfer so far away? Is it pretty specialized treatment?
Well, you know, the big thing was David was here in at Haywood Regional.
Yeah.
Had been there since Tuesday morning. They felt like they wanted to make a transfer. He's actually has been getting better, but they just wanted to kind of a second opinion type deal.
Sure.
They'd looked into taking him to Asheville to Mission. They didn't have the doctors on call that specialized in the gastro, I guess you'd say the stomach area. This weekend, the two closest ones were Greenville, South Carolina, and Charlotte.
Yeah.
And decided to take him to Greenville, and because he was under 18, they were able to get him into the Shriners.
Nice.
So I thought that was outstanding. I talked to his mom, Renee, last night, and she said as soon as they arrived, they had four doctors
and
four
true.
Nurses waiting on him. So certainly he's in good hands, but you know, hopefully everything will go well this weekend, and he'll be back maybe at school at the beginning of the week.
The other injuries you were talking about, a lot of that stuff's been ongoing stuff, right? I mean, it's nice to be able to give those kids a week where, you know, they're able to address those things and not have to, you know, to worry about the other things. Feel pretty good about those in terms of where they are right now?
Well, you know, Garrett, he kind of gutted out practice this week. And, of course, he's a senior, so he's not going to miss any days. You know, we backed off on him a little bit on his conditioning, so he wasn't pounding on that ankle as much. But, you know, when you're a senior and, you know, you get into that season, you don't want to miss any of those things.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, he gutted it out. And then, you know, Jeff's situation was in a boot, you know, trying to get that thing to heal up a little bit. And we anticipate both of them being ready to full go on Monday when we get back to work.
But considering everything, we're in pretty good shape right now, knock on wood.
Not bad. You know, not bad. Still got a couple of, you know, things we got early in the season. Obviously, Jacob Kilson with, you know, that dislocated kneecap. Hopefully, he'll be back in maybe two more weeks. Jared Clark had another cast put on this week. Unfortunately, it looks like it's probably going to take his season away. It keeps pushing back a little bit further and further on his rehab stuff. But, you know, hopeful to get him back as soon as we get through with the season and get back in the weight room with him in January and, you know, get ready for his senior year.
Do you use the week off, the bye week, to maybe put some things in again that you haven't had a chance to put in or look at some things technically that you haven't had a chance to do at this point?
You know, we take a look at some different things. Obviously, we're already working on Madison. You know, we were fortunate enough to go ahead and have film on those guys. And
you started on that last Saturday.
Yeah, and we started on that last Saturday and, you know, had some film early. And, you know, we're able to start looking at them a little bit defensively and offensively. And, you know, able, just like what you said, to take a look at some things that we haven't had time really to up until this point. And like I said, it's all a work in progress. You're always trying to get to a certain point each week, you know, and build as you go. And, you know, certainly right now we feel good about where we're at. You know, still trying to clean up some things through those first three games. But, you know, be excited to get back on the field Friday again.
You spend most of your time on the turf, or do you try to split it between being up at the – practice field versus being down at the stadium?
You know, the schedule, you know, through the week has more to do with that than anything. We love it when we can get down on the turf. You get more, to me, you get more game-like situations and feels. we were on the turf on Tuesday, and we were actually up on the grass for Wednesday and Thursday. Like I said, we would like to be down at the turf as much as possible. Had a couple of middle school athletic events, yeah. Had a soccer game, and then, of course, a middle school football game on Thursday. So that throughout those 2 days. And actually, they're very good to work with us. Ricky Warren, who's a soccer coach, and Steve Ledford, they actually had a home game on Tuesday as well, soccer game. And, you know, we were able to get them to switch a home and away with, I think it was Asheville School or Asheville Christian Academy. Yeah. So we could at least get one day on the turf last week. So, you know, appreciate them doing that for us.
Real quick, while we're there, as far as the turf life, and we've had that turf down for, you know, it should be getting close to the end in terms of its life, but it's really held up well, hasn't it?
It has been really good. You know, the county bought a new machine there last year to come in and clean it, you know, to hook up to their tractors. And I'm telling you, when they go through and clean it and it stands it back up, you know, stands the bristles back up and pulls that rubber to the top, it looks sharp.
Yeah.
You know, it's been really good for us, you know, coming from Henderson County, where I was at, that doesn't have it. Certainly, I've been spoiled being here.
Absolutely. Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
I'm in luck. I haven't missed out on summer rebates on premium Valspar and Cabot paint and stain at Hometown Hardware. We can save $5 to $7 a gallon, and color matching's a snap with Hometown Hardware's color specialist. Summer rebates on Valspar and Cabot paint and stain last only through September 13th, so don't miss out. I need to say some restrictions apply. See Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill right away.
For a better price and better insurance coverage, call Samuel Freeman or Bradley Pope at the Freeman Agency. These two men are Pisgah graduates who bring you Erie Insurance with coverage for auto, home, business, and life. Sample Freeman Agency service at 1656 South Main Street, close to Walmart in Waynesville, or talk with Bradley or Samuel at 246-0546 about Erie Insurance for your everyday needs.
So, again, we come out of the bye week this week, able to get rested up and hopefully have some things that we were able to put in this week. And now, again, as we started last week, preparation for Madison, what's your mindset right now going into that game, and then maybe, you know, thinking about just that quickly beginning conference play? That second season's already just about ready to begin.
You know, taking it step by step. Obviously, you know, we're 3 games in. We're sitting here 2-1 right now.
Yeah.
You know, have Madison next. Obviously, we need to make sure we take care of this one. It's another one of those non-conference games that we can't let slip away, you know, provided that we take care of business on Friday. You know, we've talked about this before, because we have the endowment. We have the option of dropping that one loss, so certainly helps us come playoff time and seeding. So this game's a big game for us. You know, one we certainly need to take care of and not overlook.
So do you – think about, you know, where the conference is right now. We talked a little bit about this last week, and there's some, you know, a lot of teams that were off this week already, and it seemed like there were a lot of buys played in around the mountains last night too. But again, we looked at this and talked a little bit about this last week, just looking at what we have right now. West Henderson is playing very well right now. Of course, Franklin continues to play very well. So, you know, again, that complexion's changed a little bit, and there's a lot more parity right now in the conference. So, you know, after we get past Madison, it's going to be a fight, you know, every single week through November, isn't it?
You've got 6 teams right now that are 6 out of the 8 teams. Well, I guess you'd say 7 out of the 8 teams that are playing pretty good football right now.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, you start at the top, and you look at, you know, coming back from last year, and you kind of staggered by how it was ranked last year when it finished. You got Franklin sitting there that beat Swain last night. They're sitting there with 1 loss to Asheville. They've got Irwin next week, so it'll be a big game for those guys. North Henderson sitting there with 1 loss. You got West Henderson, who hasn't been beat. You got Tuscola sitting there with 1 loss. You got Smoky Mountain sitting there with 1 loss.
Yeah.
So they're playing well also. And you got East and Brevard. Brevard got their first win last night. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're trying to turn the corner. They got Inca next week. And then you got East Henderson without a win right now. So, you know, you got some teams playing pretty good ball right now. I had a chance to see West Henderson last night against North Buncombe. And certainly a good football team, really good on defense. I know that's what, you know, we're reading a lot about in the papers with 10 starters back on the defensive side. But their offense is putting up some points. I think they had 35 points last night. So, certainly they're a team to be contend with. You know, we played them last year in a tight ball game, 3-0. So I think there's a lot of parity, you know, in our conference this year especially. So it should be interesting once we get going.
You guys, you know, coming out of last week and lost Ash, we played very well, really, through much of that game on both sides of the football. And you're able to do some, I mean, we talked a little bit about this last week too. You're able to do a lot of different things offensively. And again, does the extra week maybe give you a chance to, you know, take your breath a little bit and think about how to put those guys in? It's almost now I'm thinking, you know, you've got five or six, seven guys offensively that are you know, able to get, you know, make real impacts offensively for you. I mean, do you think a little bit differently about how to get those guys the football that maybe hadn't got as many touches, or just let it flow in terms of, you know, what happens every single week as far as who you're playing?
I think it's always good to reflect back and see where you've been successful or what kids have been successful for you when they've had an opportunity to have the ball in their hands. Obviously, you look at last week, and I felt like Houston had a great game, and I thought Jesse Martinez had a really good game for us. Those were two positions that, you know, they looked about doubling on Trey's side, so they kind of took him away from us a little bit. Obviously, the linebacker play and the defensive line, you know, was a great battle up front with our linemen, but, you know, Daniel was limited, you know, to what he had been, which we knew he was going to be. But it's been nice to see another one or two kids able to step up when we've had one or two things taken away from us. And, you know, you mentioned four or five kids, and, you know, we're certainly blessed to have some playmakers, you know, for us. I think it's, you know, looking forward to the next few weeks, I think it's important for us to keep that in mind as we keep moving forward and getting ready for the conference, because I think each week, you know, somebody's going to try to take something away, and being able to for those other kids to step up and make plays for us and get the ball to them.
And defensively, again, you know, still very solid. I mean, going back to last week and thinking about what we did, we mentioned that, you know, the tailback that played so well through two-thirds of the game had, you know, 60 yards on 18 carries or something along those lines. It's nice to be able to know that, you know, game in and game out, you can rest assured that defensively you're going to play pretty well just about every single one. And we've seen that now for a number of games going dating back well into last year, is that your defense is going out there and going to be solid every single night. That makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, obviously the preparation that goes in each week, and I think that's kind of those behind-the-scenes things that people don't understand. I mean, our kids are probably watching, I don't know, we're watching upwards of 5 and 6 hours of film a week, you know, the kids and the coaches together, you know, not to mention what the coaches themselves are watching on the weekends or, you know, late at night as well, you know, just in that preparation time. But, you know, I think Ricky does a really good job in getting our kids ready mentally, you know, as far as film study and things like that, and, you know, does a good job as with how he has his practice schedule together and things like that. But, you know, the defense has been playing really good for us. I thought we were better even last week against Asheville on third down conversions. That's something that he's really been working on. We changed some things up in practice to, you know, give them game situation type feels, and we used yardsticks, and, you know, we did some down and distance and stuff to try to just get that in their mind physically or mentally. And you almost want to say you want to help their football IQ a little bit. You know, sometimes we wonder how much kids watch football on the weekends some situations. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, we're just working towards getting to that conference and making sure we're as good as we can be once we get started.
So the last thing I'll mention again, just in terms of phases of the game, again, that special teams deal. We were sitting here last year, you know, looking for a kicking game. And obviously we found one as we got into the season last year. Special teams play, again, I think has been outstanding this year, not only in terms of, you know, the place kicking, but you're thinking about, you know, last week and managing a turnover in the place kicking game. The punting has been well, so that's a big phase that people tend to forget about because it's not as exciting maybe as the other phases, but that's been another solid area for you thus far in the season too, hasn't it?
You know, it's kind of funny. You sit back and you think about the, you know, starting on my third season, and obviously as you get into a place, no matter how long you've been there, you're always trying to recruit kids into your program. Yeah. And one place that you don't think of sometimes is recruiting kickers. And we went from last year not really having a great kicking game, you know, to obviously picking up Mason, to this year we've probably got three kickers on the varsity and three kickers on the JV. Yeah. So, you know, we've gone out. And I tell you, a lot of that comes back to Mason. You know, Mason getting out there with us enjoying doing and understanding what it was about being out there in those situations. And I think these other kids listening and hearing that, and it's been really nice. You know, Greg Parrott's helping us a little bit with our kickers as well, and Greg's done a good job with practicing with those kids, and our kids are getting better. You know, we picked up another JV kicker a couple of weeks ago that we feel like is going to be really good for us, and again, we're just trying to get as good as we can on all of our phases of the game.
Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chapel Show on WPTL.
Plus, Linen and Uniform Service makes business life easier. With floor mats to keep winter slush in check, linen service, and uniforms for a complete professional look. Call 648-2384. A representative from Plus will explore your needs and provide a quote. From small beauty shops and local garages to offices and large institutions, Plus Linen and Uniform Service has served Western North Carolina and Upper South Carolina for nearly 90 years. And Plus proudly backs the Bears.
This is Chad Upton for Pisgah Family Barbershop in their new location. Take a short drive out Champion Drive and enjoy plenty of store-wide parking. Inside, Pisgah Family Barbershop's well-known hospitality, with Ken Warren and his crew providing excellent haircuts for men, women, and children. For style and convenience, you'll be a regular at the new location of Pisgah Family Barbershop on Champion Drive across from Burger King, I-40, exit 31.
Again, just catching up on some scores from last night. Again, we'll go through as many as we can here. High Brighton 34, Ash 21, Asheville over the Q Foundation last night 40-6. Freedom, a winner over Robertson 48-10. Independence, a winner over West Mecklenburg 26 last night. Mallard Creek scored 70 points on Garinger last night. Mallard Creek as good as anybody in the state of North Carolina down there in Charlotte. Cherokee over Cosby last night 52-22. Hazel beating Inca 34-21. Burns 20-7 over Chase. Franklin 24-14 over Swain. Concord 21-18 over Hickory Ridge. It was Havelock a winner over Rose 49-48. Landrum 24-21 over Polk. Lincolnton 43-33 over East Gaston. Brevard, again, we mentioned, first win of the season last night over Madison, our opponent next week, 36-20. Mitchell 62-13 over McDowell. Forest Hills win over Piedmont 24-23. Shelby a winner over RS Central 52-7. Butler, a winner over Richmond Senior, 32-13. Two very good teams in 4A football right there. Mountain Heritage, 26-21 over Rosman. Science Hill up in Johnson City beating Irwin last night, 43-19. Crest, 54-7 over Drawn, and it was Reynolds, 43-15 over Watauga. Again, West Henderson, a winner last night, 35-16 over North Buncombe. And Northern Guilford, 47-7 over Williams. North Gaston, 45-6 over Cherryville. Just real quick, just looking at the top 10, both the 4A, or at least the top 5 in the 4A, Vance, Mallard Creek, Dudley, Butler, and Scotland, again in that 4A. And this is according to CarolinaPreps.com. In 3A, Crest number 1, Havelock 2, Weddington 3, Northern Guilford 4, Asheville at number 5, Sanford at 6, South Point 7, Reynolds, AC Reynolds, number 8. It's hard to believe, it's really weird to see Reynolds in the 3A. AC Reynolds again, number 8. South Durham, number 9. Eastern Alamance at number 10. Statesville, the only team nearest off that list at number 12. And again, that's in the 3A. Then you get to the 2A. Shelby, number 1 again. East Lincolnton, 2. Clinton, 3. Monroe, 4. Northeastern, 5. And in the 2A, Franklin is number 12 right now. When we mentioned that last year, it's just unbelievable when you see Shelby, you know, Cleveland County having the two, maybe the two best teams in the state of North Carolina that are neighbors. It's just amazing to see that they've got that that football pedigree, and that continues down there. But really, again, there's not as many surprises, I guess, in terms of rankings, and it doesn't mean very much, though it does give you an idea of where things stack out right now. The other thing I think it makes you think about right now, Coach, is, again, we've talked a little about this, about the realignment situation and what that might look like down the road a little bit. You know, you've got teams that have been in 4A, dropped to 3A. You've got, you know, 3A teams that are right on that bubble, and we kind of still in that same spot, aren't we, looking ahead to the next realignment?
We are. We asked Miss Jones, Miss Sheila Jones, yesterday or 2 days ago, when we were still in school, what our numbers were. They take the 20-day numbers, and the 20th day will be Tuesday of this coming week. Right now we're sitting, I believe she let me know, we're sitting at about 996 kids. So that's really good for us. That's under that 3A bar, you know, that they've set. So we feel good about the opportunity for us to get back down to 2A. You know, the state has said that they would like to do away with split conferences. So if, in fact, that happens, you know, we would be in a straight 2A league. Obviously, there's a couple in the mountains right now. So don't know how all of that will play out, but, you know, encouraged by the numbers that we have. Now, that wouldn't take effect until 2017, I believe, would be the first year that would take effect for us. But, you know, again, those numbers are important and critical to our programs like ourselves, you know, when it comes to playoff time. Obviously, the conferences, you know, you've been in the same conferences for so long, I don't think you really even think about it. But once you get into playoffs and seeing other teams, it's, you know, you want to be as close to playing the amount of kids and those teams that you can be. And, you know, we're on the bottom end of that 3A, so obviously anybody we play is going to be bigger than us. So, you know, it'll be nice to be on the flip side of it. Right, you know, maybe we'll be one of the bigger 2A teams, you know, as we get in the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. You know, those numbers will be taken next Tuesday. We won't know anything about them probably for another month after that. But, you know, we kind of have an idea about where we're at.
Don't you think there's a lot of difficulty, though, in the idea of going away from split conference, especially for teams and schools that are in more rural areas? I mean, you know, you're talking about, I would think, longer travel times potentially and those kinds of things with that situation.
When they did split conferences, that was the big reason why, because of the travel. I think with some new formats and some ideas that they did on classifications this time, you know, those were you know, ideas that were taken into consideration when they were doing these, but they think they've got them a little bit closer together because of how they've got the numbers set up and where those conferences would be. I think as far as we go, I mean, you're still going to see, obviously, Franklin and Smoky Mountain. There's a couple of changes probably going to come out of the Henderson County bunch. Looks like West Henderson and North Henderson could possibly be 3A. So there could be a change there. We might be able to pick up a couple, you know, coming out of that Western Highlands, Mountain Heritage, Madison, Owen possibly. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see. We'll know fairly quick. They will come out with those new conference proposals generally right after Christmas. They'll kind of give you a year to get all your bylaws and your, you know, conference presidents and all of those things set up before it goes into effect. So, you know, by the end of school year, we'll know where we're going to be at. We'll know what conference we're going to be in. And, you know, like I said, just encouraged by the numbers for us. And I think it just gives us a better opportunity once we do get in the playoffs to, you know, progress farther through.
To what degree would you guys or the high school, would Pisgah have in terms of say-so, in terms of, you know, how that all shakes out? In other words, for a situation that comes out of that we don't feel good about, to what degree can we, you know, be heard to be able to have that addressed if need be?
You know, you can address it and you know, try to argue the fact, you know, and I'm going to give you an example. For instance, if we were placed into a conference that was, you know, one that we felt like was too much travel or something like that, certainly you could address it. Will they change it? You know, I would like to think that the state listens to everything that we turn in. I've seen them overturn some things, and, you know, I've seen them not. Obviously, there's a bigger picture in mind, but when you get into Western North Carolina, I can say this with a lot of clarity. When you get into Western North Carolina, there is one county that runs the show,
right,
and that's Buncombe County.
Right.
You know, everything's dictated by them for some reason, and you know, it will be a strong push for those guys to see if they can get all of their teams in the same conference. I think you see, you know, obviously having Reynolds down in 3A. Obviously, if they can get TC in 3A too, you'll see a Buncombe County Conference, you know, minus Owen, because of them being 2A.
Right.
But I can assure you that'll be a strong push for those guys.
Yeah. Back with more in a moment. It's Brett Chappell Show on WPTO.
For a better price and better insurance coverage, call Samuel Freeman or Bradley Pope at the Freeman Agency. These two men are Pisgah graduates who bring you Erie Insurance with coverage for auto, home, business, and life. Sample Freeman Agency service at 1656 South Main Street, close to Walmart in Waynesville, or talk with Bradley or Samuel at 246-0546 about Erie Insurance for your everyday needs.
I'm in luck. I haven't missed out on summer rebates on premium Valspar and Cabot paint and stain at Hometown Hardware. We can save $5 to $7 a gallon, and color matching's a snap with Hometown Hardware's color specialist. Summer rebates on Valspar and Cabot paint and stain last only through September 13th, so don't miss out. I need to say some restrictions apply. See Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill right away.
Plus, linen and uniform service makes business life easier with floor mats to keep winter slush in check, linen service, and uniforms for a complete professional look. Call 648-2384. A representative from Plus will explore your needs and provide a quote. From small beauty shops and local garages to offices and large institutions, Plus Linen and Uniform Service has served Western North Carolina and Upper South Carolina for nearly 90 years, and Plus proudly backs the Bears.
Coach, last night you guys had a chance to take your coaches and guys started off, I think, going to a game in upstate South Carolina and then wound up at the West Henderson game last night. But it's a good time for you guys to do those things. And that you know, that, like I said, it's a brotherhood just between the players. The same thing with the coaches, too. But you're able to pick up on some things and see what's out there. Did you see anything last night that was interesting?
You know, I always enjoy going somewhere else and getting to sit back and watching how other coaches do it and trying to pick things up that you might be able to use for your place as well. And, you know, we had a chance to go down last night and watch Spartanburg and Gaffney. Went down and watched those guys for the first half. And West Henderson and North Buncombe were in a lightning delay. Didn't get started till 8:30. So we made the decision there about halftime to come back up this way, and we caught the second half of that game, for a couple of quarters. And so we got to see two good ball games last night. The Gaffney and Spartanburg, I think, score was 28-14 at halftime. Good ball game. And, of course, came back up and watched North Buncombe. But, you know, like I said, it's always good to watch other programs, kind of see how they do things. And it's neat to be able to sit in, you know, different places, different venues. You know, Spartanburg plays in Wofford's Stadium. So we were able to go down on the college campus and see that, and obviously they get to use a jumbotron and all of those things. Yeah. And replays, and it was neat to see how South Carolina, the state of South Carolina, does it different than North Carolina. You know, you can't do replays and stuff in North Carolina or use that jumbotron as a live feed, which South Carolina can.
Really?
So that was, you know,
so
that
in
was
other
different.
Words, if we were in this state, we wouldn't be able to have that screen on at all. Is that what you're saying?
Reynolds actually has one, and they can use it for anything prior to the game, warm-ups, any of those things. Once the game starts, the only thing they can use it for is advertisements. So no live feeds, no replays or anything like that.
Wow.
So, and it's kind of like televised games. You know, South Carolina's able to televise quite a bit of their games. North Carolina is slowly adapting to that. You know, they're fixing to start, I think, those games maybe next week or the week after. I think they're going to do 5 games this year on Thursday night. So, you know, they're coming around to it. And obviously, I think South Carolina's ahead of us on quite a few things.
Yeah.
But, it was neat to see that atmosphere last night.
Those games live? Those they're going to broadcast?
Yeah, the Thursday night games will be live on I don't
remember.
My40. Yeah,
maybe.
I think that's right, My40.
Do you worry about stuff like that perhaps affecting things like attendance and that kind of thing down the road, though?
You know, with it being on a Thursday night, I don't. I think it's going to be an opportunity. You can kind of catch two ball games.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If you're somebody who really likes to watch, you know, the high school football, I think you got an opportunity to do that. I think you're going to see a lot of coaches scouting teams on Thursday
nights.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And, vice versa, one that plays on Thursday, he's going to go somewhere on Friday to watch, you know, his next week's opponent. So, you know, it'll change some things for us, certainly, but I think it's a positive. You know, I think it's a positive as we move forward. I think it's one more thing to promote our sport, for kids in our area. So, we're not on that schedule right now, for one of those 5 games. I think next year they're already talking about getting up to 11.
Yeah.
I anticipate this probably being somewhere along those lines.
Sure.
In one of those games.
We'll certainly look forward to that. Okay, so the Black Bears again back at home for the first time since Inca. That'll be this coming Friday night against that game at against Madison. 6:30 is our airtime with Black Bear Cafe Preview. 7 o'clock is our game broadcast. 7:30 kickoff again from the stadium in Canton. Then we'll be right back here again next Saturday morning with the Brett Chappell Show. For head coach Brett Chappell, this is Chad Upton. Till next week, so long, everybody.